We are going into a series starting today, a series on relationships. And how many knows that relationships are hard? How many ever experienced a difficult relationship? Stop nudging the person sitting next to you, okay? That's not kind at all. All right? But relationships are hard. Relationships at one time, whether they be in our church family or our personal family, our community, people at work, there always seems to be some sort of conflict to resolve, some sort of issue to settle. The fact is we need one another. God has given us one another. He's given us relationships for a reason. I know that many times some of us might just want to sell everything we have and move to a remote island somewhere where we don't have to deal with anybody. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but full disclosure, I have, and I guess I'm not alone. Maybe are there enough islands in the world, right? I don't think so. But we do. We need one another. That's a fact. But the other fact is that sometimes we can't stand one another. And so it's this tension between those two issues and those two truths, dynamics, that brings us to where we are today, because we are born-again Christians. We are filled with the presence and the power of Jesus Christ. We are salt and light. We are set apart. We are the church of Jesus Christ. We are the ones that bring the hope of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. But if we're struggling in our relationships and are not successful in how we can overcome some of these issues, sometimes people look at us and say, well, man, if that's what the church is all about, then I can do the same thing without being a part of the church. So what is a Christian to do as it relates to relationships? We all struggle at times. In fact, you might even be in a situation right now. I hope that this message somehow today can help you and maybe even give you some tools to use so that we can look at what God's Word says, because that Bible that you're holding in your hands today, in fact, hold it in your hands. I want you to just hold that Bible. Whatever it is that you've got in your front of you that's your Bible today, I want you to hold and realize that that's your manual for life. That is your go-to, right? That is not one of the things that we refer to eventually. That is the primary thing that we refer to constantly and primarily. And then if everything else that we refer to does not line up with it, we throw everything else out and we take what God's Word says in every area of our lives. What you're holding in your hands right now is a complete owner's manual. Everything that you need for a successful and victorious life is found in that book that you're holding in your hands. Because it's not just a book. It's the Word of God. It's an alive Word. It's a now Word. It's a Word that we can take and say, I'm struggling in my relationships right now. I'm dealing with some issues. I've got some attitudes in me that are not right. I'm dealing with some attitudes that are coming towards me that are not right. What must I do to navigate through this successfully so that on the back end of it, I can sustain my witness with Christ. I can somehow bring good to the situation, that I can leave it better than I found it. And somehow, maybe even with these people, they can come be more like Christ as well. I just got to say, full disclosure here, I don't have this down. I'm not an expert at it. There's issues that are still I deal with in my life. God is still perfecting all of us. That's what sanctification is all about. It's a perfecting. It's becoming more like Christ. But I'm so thankful that as I'm continuing to grow, I'm continuing to learn, I'm thankful that I have the Holy Spirit in me. I'm thankful that we have the Holy Spirit in us. And He can help us through those times. I know people. It has nothing to do with the chronological age. There's people that are in their 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s that still struggle in their relationships. It's just because we're human and we deal with stuff. So it's not a matter of, well, I've served the Lord for 50 years. Well, good for you, but I know you still struggle in certain areas of your life. We all do. And relationships are probably for all of us in the same boat here. So I want us to turn to the book of Luke today. And I hope that on the other side of these challenges, that the Holy Spirit brings us on the other side more like Christ and less like ourselves. That's what my goal is in life. How about you? I want to somehow through challenges that are put in front of me, that I somehow successfully get through them and more like Christ and less like myself. That's not a bad goal, is it? Is that maybe a goal for all of us here today? I certainly hope so. And if you're viewing here today, let's look at Luke chapter 12. and turn with me to Luke chapter 12. I want you to pay attention to four or five verses that are in the middle of this teaching. You'll find if you have a Bible that shows the red letters of Christ, every time he speaks, those are the red letters. You'll find in the Luke chapter 11, 12, 13, that he's a big old chunk of just his words. And so right in the middle of those red letters, there's this teaching that I want to pull out. And I think we know some of these in its text, but really we need to look at them in the context of what he was talking about. Because you put it all together. You know, sometimes we can take a scripture out of context and we can make it work however we want to in our walk with the Lord, right? And we can, and not necessarily in a good way. But it's important for us to take the scriptures in its context. So look with me in Luke chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 49. And I want us to look at some words that he said to us today. If you're there, Luke chapter 12, verse 49, let me hear you say, amen. Amen. Jesus said these words, I have come to bring fire on the earth. And how I wish that it were already kindled. We're going to come back to that in just a little bit. He continues, but I have a baptism to undergo and what constraint I am under until it's completed. And then he moves into a section right after that. So I find it interesting that he says this. And then he goes right into what many of us is a very familiar part of Scripture. He says, do you think I came to bring peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but division. We'll talk about that for a little while today. And then he goes on and elaborates. He says, from now on, there's going to be five in one family divided against each other, and three against two, two against three. They'll be divided father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, and mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. I find it really kind of cool that son-in-laws are not included in that, so I'm pretty good, I guess, with Joanne this morning. So, no, I'm kidding. He was using those as examples. You can flesh that out to son-in-laws and cousins and aunts and uncles and everybody. It's people. It's families. It's communities. It's churches. It's nations that struggle. And we don't need to look very far to see a people divided. You can go to your own family. You can go to maybe churches, maybe a community, certainly nations. People already on edge. It seems like one little nudge sends people into this frenzy. They just spin off into this crazy loop-to-loop. You think about it. Road rage is rampant. This lady who just not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, got shot because her husband merged into the lane of the interstate and the guy just got ticked off and he came back around and just shot into the car and killed her. It's just a purely innocent act. She did nothing wrong. But it's there. Just evil, just division, ugliness. You think, if you're on social media, which I'm not, don't try to reach out to me in social media. I'm not there. I'm only there with the Facebook Live here because I have to be in order to broadcast this to you today. But I used to be on social media. Kelly and I did. We went off of it probably 7 years ago, something like that, a long time ago, because of just the hate and the disdain and the ugliness that is present on social media today. Young people, let me just say something. That's not normal. Okay, I know that's, you've grown up with a cell phone in your hand. I get that. You've grown up with social media at your fingertips. But that's not normal. It's not healthy. And I've talked about that before, but just know that what you're experiencing there in social media, that hate and that ugliness, it's just not of God. And you don't have to be part of that. No one's forcing you to do it. It's not a rule that says, hey, since you're alive, you got to be on Facebook. You don't. Many of us lived how many years without social media? And we did just fine. Amen, church? And you know, you think about this too. You got the banner of the people that wave this banner of tolerance. You hear that? They seem the most be intolerant of all, don't they? And they're certainly intolerant of the church. So there's this division that's going on. The fact is that Satan is definitely working overtime to steal and kill and destroy. And he's coming to bring division. Satan is not a unifier, he's a divider. And the reason he's working overtime, because he knows that any house that's divided against itself cannot stand, and he knows that his time is short. You know, we read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, an instruction to all of us here today as believers in Christ. The Lord is saying, the Holy Spirit is saying to us, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. I mean, what a great scripture. Just soak that in just a little bit. Make every effort. Don't just give it a lick and a promise. Don't just try just a little bit, but make every effort. In other words, give it all you got to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That's with our church family. That's with our blood family, flesh and blood. That's with our community. That's with our nation. It's an approach to humanity, one human to another, one created being to another. I'm going to try to keep peace with you. I'm going to try to keep the unity with you. I'm going to make every effort to not be a divider, but to be a uniter. But for some reason, as a church, and as we look at that scripture, we kind of ignore it. We push it off to the side at times, and it seems too often what maybe that many in the church are making every effort to do just the opposite. And let me just tell you something, Satan absolutely loves it. So when we read the words of Jesus, we can relate to families being divided. When we read the scripture we just read in Luke, divorce is rampant, domestic disputes are common, and hatred and unforgiveness among family members we know are all around us, and in fact, they might even exist in your own family today, and it might have been going on even for years. I just don't get it. How can otherwise tight-knit families get divided like that? You ever wonder that? Grow up in the same house. You know, you have the same parents, you have the same environment, you have all of that, and everyone's kind of loving and getting together, and all of a sudden just something happens. You ever wonder that? I mean, we know that the source is from Satan, but he uses things. I can give an example right now. One prime example is politics. I mean, my goodness, politics just simply divides, doesn't it? Family reunions, Thanksgiving and Christmas, and other sort of events go from a pleasant breaking of bread to a hunkering down as the two sides get ready for the inevitable battle that's going to take place. And then there's, instead of it looking forward to these events, there's a dread. Politics is certainly one area that is extremely divisive. One family just believes one way and the other believes the other. But when Jesus said in our text today, do you think that I came to bring peace on earth? He says, no, I tell you, but division. I don't think he was talking about politics. He wasn't thinking about politics at that moment. Jesus knew that he would be divisive. He knew that. He knew that his message would be divisive. He came proposing that people live out a way that was in many ways opposite from how they were living or wanted to live up to that point. He came in a totally different new paradigm, a new dynamic. He knew that his message would divide nations, peoples, communities, even down to family members. Because you see, Jesus represents something that is diametrically opposed to the spirit that's in the world today. Jesus represents something that was new on the scene and has continued to bring division. Because you see, right now the spirit that's on the world, even though the spirit of the Lord is here in this place and the spirit of the Lord still is in control, the spirit of the world, not the planet, but the world system, is the spirit of Antichrist. You see, God still owns the world. He owns everything. But there's a spirit over the people, over the communities, over the nations right now. It's the spirit of Antichrist. And Jesus came into that spirit of Antichrist that was still there. It existed 2,000 years ago. It's just gotten more violent and more intense over the years. But that spirit of against God, that spirit against anything holy, was there. And Jesus came and he invaded that darkness with the light of who he is. And people didn't like it. And they resisted it to the point where they killed him. And now they're crucifying and killing us as Christians all across the world today. It's not ceased. And so that spirit of Antichrist that is there is opposed to anything or anyone that is of Christ. And that's why we struggle so much in our relationships. How can Jesus, by the way, be the Prince of Peace, which he's spoken of in the Bible? We know him as the Prince of Peace, right? But how can Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, and God's Word says it, how come he then contradicted himself, supposedly, by saying he didn't come to bring peace? That doesn't seem to jive, does it? Well, let's put this together here real quick, because I don't want you to think that the Bible is contradictory. It's not. Jesus can actually do both and not be opposed to himself. Jesus can actually be the Prince of Peace and also come to bring division. And you see it happening all around us. On one hand, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, came to bring peace to those who wanted peace with God through salvation and forgiveness of sins. That's the peace that he's talking about. I'm the Prince of Peace, he says, to bring peace from you back to God and restore you back to right relationship. There's a peace that we make with God. You've heard that phrase before. I just want to make peace with you. I want to make peace with God. That's what he's talking about. It means rightness. It means unity. It means correctness. It means restoration. That's the peace that he's referring to. But on the other hand, Jesus came to bring division. So how? How did he come to bring division? Well, this is how. He finally is making people choose who they will serve. That's how. It goes all the way back to Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, which is, it's fleshed out for us today. We use this verse a lot. But if serving, here's Joshua speaking to the children of Israel, which, by the way, if you read the first part of Joshua, the people of Israel, after Moses passed away and Joshua was put in charge, the people of Israel said, Joshua, it's a key word here, Joshua, we will serve, no, Joshua, we will serve your God. We will follow you because of your God. The way, that's a paraphrase, but the way that he said it was, the way they said it was, they didn't say, we're going to serve our God, but we're going to honor and follow you because of your God. What's that telling you? It tells you there's a lot of people in that nation of Israel at the beginning there that only followed Joshua and stayed under that covering because they knew that Joshua was anointed of his God, not their God. They were not taking ownership of God. They didn't believe in God, but they wanted to follow under that covering. So here's Joshua in chapter 24, and he's finally confronting these people that didn't really believe in God. They didn't want to serve Joshua's God, but they'll follow Joshua as the leader. And he finally said to them, listen, guys, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, if serving this God that I serve seems undesirable to you, then go ahead and choose for yourselves this day whom you're going to serve. Go ahead and go that direction if you want to. Whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land that you're living. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You see, that's where the line of delineation is, and that's where Jesus comes to bring division. Because he's telling the world today, through us and through his Holy Spirit and through all that's going on in the world today, he's saying, choose this day whom you're going to serve. You can choose the gods of this world if you want to, or you can choose to serve me. And can't you see how that brings division? There's no gray areas with Jesus. He's seeing either you fish or cut bait. You either serve me or you serve the world. You cannot have both. You can't ride the fence with me. It's all or nothing. And that message brings division. The Prince of Peace brings peace from us to God, but it brings division when it comes to people and their choices that they make. You know, the Jewish people, they heard that scripture read from the Torah. They've certainly been confronted with that passage many times. And Jesus was bringing that to the forefront once and for all, that text, as he was saying to these people, listen, I've come to bring division. There's going to be some family members that are divided. There's going to be some friends that are divided. And I'm hearkening back to Joshua 24:15. He says, when I say this, if that's what you want to do, do it. But if you're going to serve me, serve me. So today is the day of salvation. Today is the moment. Jesus was simply bringing that to the forefront once and for all, not just for them, but also for us today. The gospel of Jesus Christ is at once unifying and divisive. It's unifying for those who choose Christ and divisive for those who reject him. And we've seen this battle bear out throughout history. You see, the gospel is very confrontational. It's a loving gospel, but it's a confrontational gospel because it tells us today and every day of our lives, who are you going to serve? Choose this day if you're going to honor me. You see, the gospel is confrontational because it bypasses all the excuses that people may have and it forces them to choose. Here's some choices that we make as a church today. As individual believers, let me see if this maybe resonates with you. Love over hate. It's a choice we make. Our God is a God of love, not a God of hate. But yet we still hate because we make a choice to. Forgiveness over unforgiveness. Our God is a God that forgives, but yet there's many times we choose to not forgive. Mercy over judgment. Sometimes we cast a lot of judgment on people and there's very little mercy shown. Spirit over flesh. We walk things out in the flesh because we want to, because it feels good. It satisfies our flesh, and we don't allow the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do. There's no yielding, or there's very little yielding. Holiness over unrighteousness. His eternal kingdom over our temporary one. We're so focused on our stuff instead of His eternal stuff. And then finally, unity over division. Sometimes we just like to just say things and do things that divide instead of saying, what can I do to bring unity and wholeness to the situation? You see, our flesh always wants it one way and our spirit wants it the other way. And that's very divisive, isn't it? So there's even a division in our hearts and in our lives. We talk about division between us and other people. There's also division in us. Think about it. Paul even said that. Sometimes I want to do some stuff, and sometimes I don't want to do stuff, and sometimes my spirit says yes, and sometimes my flesh says no, and I'm just battling. That's a division there. And there's a battle that goes on in all of our lives every day like that. We justify hating others, but we want to be loved. We demand judgment on others, but we cry out for mercy when stuff is happening in our lives. We hold unforgiveness, but we expect to be forgiven, and on and on and on it goes. It's a constant battle, and who wins that battle determines not only our relationships with one another, but also with God. So what's the key here? Where do we take this scripture and make it apply to our lives here today? This text in Luke. How can we walk more successfully and fully in the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace as we read in Ephesians? How can we be more like Jesus and less like ourselves as we interact with others? There's this one key phrase that Jesus mentioned. It was right at the beginning, and if we're not careful, we're going to miss it. This is going to help give us greater unity as we walk through our lives, not just in the church, in our relationships with our family and in the community, believers and non-believers alike. If we'll walk this out, we're going to find a greater unity. And that's what relationship... Actually, this is by the way, this is a foundational message. And we're going to be going from here into some more specifics in the weeks to come. But I'm laying a foundation for us here today to build this house. So this one key phrase, Jesus gave it to us in our text. And I want you to look again at Luke chapter 12, verse 49. Very first thing that He said that we read here this morning, He says, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Now, there's whole messages preached on that from the hellfire and brimstone angle of preaching, where Jesus is just going to come and just slay everybody. He's just going to come let them have it. But that's not what Jesus was talking about here. This fire that He's talking about, it sounds destructive. But this fire that He was desiring to bring on this earth, and how He wished it were already kindled, was not something that He wanted to burn this whole thing down in punishment for everyone's sins. If you read it in its context, let's look at Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, and let's find out what this fire really is that He desired to bring. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, Jesus is saying this to His disciples, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For you see, John baptized with water, but in a few days I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. But you'll receive power, fire, when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then we see a chapter later in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, a very familiar passage of Scripture for us Pentecostals. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. In other words, they were unified. They were in unity. Listen to that. They were in one place, unified, seeking with one heart that Jesus said, wait for. And suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of what? Tongues of what? Fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with who? Correct. And began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. You see, Jesus in Luke chapter 12, when he was talking about that fire that he wanted to pour out, it was not a fire of judgment or condemnation or punishment. It was a fire of the Holy Spirit. And that fire that brings power, it brings unity, it brings us peace. It's not a fire of punishment, folks. Listen, Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit as a gift to help us to be more unified in Him and in our relationships on the earth. I'm so thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit, aren't you? I want to talk about that power for just a minute. The Holy Spirit is a fire. And there's a lot of personality qualities of fire. I'm going to talk about three of them today that's going to help us to know how we can better be with our children, our spouses, our aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews and cousins, our church family, our community, our world that is so divided right now in so many ways. The fire that Jesus was talking about was the fire of the Holy Spirit. He said, John baptized with water, but I'm going to baptize you in the fire of the Holy Spirit. One of fire's abilities is to generate power. I'm so thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit. When you think about power, just think about the entity of power, firepower, the power of fire itself. Just look about a fire. If you put that fire into a locomotive, it'll drive a train with boxcars going a mile long. There's power in that fire. When you think about fire and it's in a factory and they're burning it in these boilers, you know, and it's generating power so that we can have lights in here and plug in all of our appliances and enjoy electricity. There's power in fire. You think about the beautiful display of 4th of July pyrotechnics. That's fireworks. And when it's put in such a way and you light a fuse and it displays this beautiful, beautiful fireworks display, there's beauty and power in that fireworks display. And when you take fire, yes, fire is destructive, but there's some good stuff about fire too, and there's a power in it. And this fire showed up in countless ways in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit, fire, gave power to overcome people's fleshly propensities. We're all in the flesh, but we're also all in the spirit. As I mentioned earlier, there's a battle that goes on. And the fire of the Holy Spirit in you today will help you to overcome your fleshly desires, your fleshly leanings. I feel this way. I want to do this. But the Holy Spirit says, yeah, that's a fire in you, but let's direct it in a positive, building up way, not a destructive way. There's a fire in you. It's not for vengeance. It's not for unforgiveness. It's not for bitterness. It's not for anger. But it's a fire in you that's going to bring power so that you don't have to lean into those things that are of the flesh, but instead let that fire be the fire of the Spirit in you so that what you do and what comes out of you, this power, brings wholeness and healing and restoration and unity into the situation. We have that power in us as a church, as believers. And it's a choice that we make every time situations come our way, if we're going to use the fire that's in us, that's of the flesh, to explode in an awful way, destructive way, or to channel in such a way where it brings healing and unity. That's what Jesus was talking about. Think about it. Connect it together again. I have come to bring and to pour out a fire. I'm not going to do it right now. I can't. I'm being restrained because I got to finish my work here. But one day I will, when I die and rise again, and then a few days later, I'm going to pour out my spirit. That's the restraining part that he's talking about. I can't do it now. I'm going to do it later. But that fire is going to bring division, but it's also going to bring unity if you'll let it. I've come to bring division and unity at the same time. But it's all about the fire and the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, that's a new way of living. The world had never seen anything like it. And the church exploded onto the scene because of this new way of living. The church learned through the power of the Holy Spirit to respond in more Christ-like fashion towards others. And that was a new thing on the scene. The Holy Spirit gave people the power to walk it out, how they needed to interact with one another in such a way that was really based on being like Jesus. We're called Christians, which means like Christ. And the Holy Spirit is here to help us to be like Christ and that power that's in us to be channeled in such a way so that when that fire that he's brought on this earth is brought up through us, that we can be more like Jesus to others. Amen? There's a power in that. The next part of fire is one of illumination. Now, this firepower not only helps us to be like Christ in our interactions with others, but also it brings us illumination in the darkness that is in people's lives. John 8:12 says, I am the light, Jesus saying this, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. How many knows that we live in a very dark world? Very dark. Satan is the prince of darkness. The Bible describes him as that. And the thing is Satan no longer lurks in the corners and the shadows doing his bidding. It seems like anymore that he's been invited to be the grand marshal in many people's parades. He's there at the very front saying, follow me. And they just follow like the Pied Piper. And he's leading people from the well-lit town squares of their lives towards the high and dangerous darkened cliffs where their doom is certain and they don't even realize it. And the only rescue for them is that if only somehow a light could illuminate their paths so that their eyes could be open to see the trickery and deception that Satan is employing in their lives. You see, we are the light bearers. Christ in us is the light. The Bible calls us, the Bible says that we are to be salt and light. That's part of that light, is that illumination. And so many people that you know right now, even family members, coworkers, you name it, classmates at school, that are just walking down a path and Satan is just leading them to a path of destruction. And they're just blindly doing it because there's a darkness in front of them. And if we could just step in the path between Satan and them and say, let me just shine a light. Let me just show you Christ today. There's an illumination that takes place. This light has come. There's a light in the world today. In fact, it's not a light, it's the light. His name is Jesus. And he's come to bring the people that we know out of darkness into his glorious light. Isaiah 9:2 actually talks about that. It says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. That's us today. We were walking in darkness and we've now seen a great light. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the light of Christ? Amen. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You see, that fire that is in us is at once a power to be like Christ, but it's also an illuminating light to help guide people to Christ. So I want to ask you this morning, who in your family, who in your circle, who in your friends, co-workers, fellow students, neighbors, who do you know that is walking in darkness and needs that illuminating light of Jesus that is in you to guide them? And by the way, it's high time. It's high time for us as believers to walk in the light, right? Amen? It's high time for us to walk in the spirit and not the flesh. It's high time for us to stop playing games. Amen? Church, listen to me this morning. It's high time for us to live a life that is a life of righteousness and holiness and purity. It's high time for us to be the salt and the light that God has called us to be. It's time to stop playing games. Jesus is coming back soon. And it's time for us to stand and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, you can illuminate that light. And here's the thing. You may have tried to do that before and they've maybe continue to walk in the darkness regardless of how much you try to illuminate Christ. But let's not let that discourage us. In fact, let me encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to continue to do what he does to bring the increase. And we are simply called to plant and water, or to shine the light and then let the Holy Spirit do the rest. Amen? Let him bring the increase. Let's not judge people. I mean, Richard had talked about this just a little bit ago. We'd been there many times with that man that had the blanket over him. And he never lifted a finger, never did a thing. And then yesterday he finally stood up and said, I need prayer. And that's just planting, 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 watering, 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 watering. All of a sudden God brings the increase. Let's not get discouraged, right? Let's just be the light. Let's let Christ shine through us in a way that eventually, ultimately, people will respond and they will choose one way or the other. Either choose to walk in the darkness, or I'm going to walk in that light that you're shining my way. But please shine the light so that they can have that choice. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 5, 14 through 16, speaking to us as the church again, you are the light of the world. Now, you have that light in you. So that's what he's talking about. You have that light in you. You are that light in this world, in this darkened world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and give its light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The old song back when I was in Sunday school, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Remember that one? And we just let it shine all around our neighborhood. I'm going to let it shine. We got a light inside of us. And I remember hiding under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. We make a choice, though, to hide it. But let's take that bushel off. Let's take that covering off. And let's be that city on a hill. Let's be the light that shines so that people are drawn to it. Let's be the lighthouse in people's storm-tossed lives. So that people can be drawn to the hope that we have in Christ. You never know what difference you're going to make as you consistently let the light of Christ shine in your home, in your church, and in your community. Let it shine. This fire brings the power to be like Christ in our lives. This fire brings illumination to guide people to Christ. And finally, this light, this fire brings a warmth to comfort people in Christ. You know, not only do we live in a dark world, we live in a cold world. It seems that there's just so much hate and anger out there, and people are more and more living in isolation from one another. You know, people close themselves up in their homes. Most folks don't even know their neighbors' names. People close themselves off from others in public. Everyone is on their cell phones all the time anymore. I'm sure there's a lot of love out there, but you sure don't hear too many stories about it. It seems that what gets the most exposure in the press is the hate and the animosity and the division that's out there. I guess that sells more papers and gets better ratings. But this fire that Jesus was desiring to pour out contains something that the world is in desperate need of, the warmth of His love. You ever come in from the cold and snuggle up to a nice warm fire? You ever been out there in the cold and it's just, I mean, you're frozen to the core and there's nothing like a nice raging fire in your house, and you just stand there by that fire. You just warm, you turn around this way, and you know, you're just warming all parts of you. And after a while, it's like, ah, oh, I'm thawing out. That nice warm fire from that fireplace. That's what it feels like when you experience the love of Jesus has to offer today. Maybe you're walking in a cold place right now, but you're watching here today and you're saying, well, I'm walking in a cold place right now. You know, but the warmth of Jesus' love is like that warmth of a fire on a cold winter's day. It's so comforting. Jesus, that fire is so renewing to our lives. And that's maybe what you're looking for today. I know it's certainly what the world needs today. The old song says, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. But I'll tell you, what the world needs now is the love, sweet love of Jesus Christ. Not the kind of love that this world has to offer, because there's a lot of love out there. There's a love for money. There's a love for things. There's a love for earthly pleasures. There's a love for power. But all that love really is a love that takes, not gives. The old phrase that says, he who dies with the most toys wins seems to be the mantra. People conquer careers, they conquer possessions, they have relationship conquests, only to throw those people off and those things off to the side once they're used up. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of wounded people in the world as a result of those who've been left out in the cold because they've been used. And they need the warmth of Jesus and the love that He has to offer. That kind of love that Jesus offers and asks us to walk out is a love that warms and gives. This fire that Jesus brings, this selfless kind of love, as opposed to the worldly love that pretty much does nothing but take. You don't have to look very far or hard to see those who've been left out in the cold, and they need the warmth of Jesus' love. They may be in your family today. They're certainly in our workplaces. They're in our schools. In fact, I would say that one time or another, we've all experience the results of this cold and selfish love in which this world functions. But there's a warmth today that Jesus provides to those who've been left out in the cold. Aren't you thankful for the warmth of Jesus' love? Jesus said, as part of the signs of the end times in Matthew 24:12, listen to me, church, this morning. Wake up. Listen. Matthew 24:12, he says, as part of the end times, there will be an increased coldness in the world. He says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. If we're not careful, we will be in that category and say, I just don't want to love anymore. But folks, as the church in these last days, let's not be in that group of people that the love of most is growing cold. You see, it's linked together because of the increased wickedness. The love of most grow cold. There's a link there between those two. Yes, there's a wickedness in the world, and we just say, well, they deserve to go to hell. They deserve where they're headed. They're reaping what they've sown. We just push them off to the side. We become cold. There's not a compassion there. There's not a reaching out. There's not a care. But it's not just those people, but it's also us. Let's get it on inside of where we are. There's a potential of an increased wickedness in our lives if we're not careful. And as we become more wicked, more like the world, less like Christ, that love will certainly fizzle to nothing. And we'll become cold as well because we just won't care. So we can look outside the four walls of church and say, that wickedness out there, I tell you what. But folks, judgment begins in the house of the Lord. So maybe we need to look at our own lives and say, wait a minute, what am I doing? Why am I not feeling a love? Why am I not allowing the warmth of God's love to just pour out from, just radiate out from me and help people to be warmed by the fire of the glow of Christ in me? Is it because of wickedness and I'm just hard-hearted towards him? Or is it because of wickedness in me and I'm just not connecting like I should because there's the love of Christ is not there because I'm not allowing him to be. I'm dealing with my own stuff. Let's not let that happen to us, folks. You see, when someone mistreats you, what does the Bible say? Turn the other cheek. Hard to do. Flesh wants to get him back. Spirit man says, turn the other cheek. The Bible says the battle belongs to the Lord. The Bible says he'll take care of us. The Bible says you just give it to the Lord and let him take care of that. When someone is hateful towards you, be the better person and don't return it in kind, but forgive them. But what does our flesh want to do? We want to return it in kind. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, and then some. When someone is ugly to you, show them the warmth of the love of Jesus. You see, that's contrary to what the world has to offer. When someone is ugly to you, we want to do ugly back. But if you're not ugly back and you say, all right, Holy Spirit, fire of the Holy Spirit, help me to not return in kind, to not be ugly, to not hold on forgiveness, to not mistreat. Lord, you're going to take care of me, but help me to be Christ to those people, to that person, to that group, to that issue in my life. It's hard to do. And there's that division again, that battle that's inside of us. But folks, I tell you what, if we want to have unity in the body of Christ, in our families, in our community members, in our school and co-workers, schoolmates and all of that, it starts here in this unity that the Holy Spirit brings through the fire of the Holy Spirit. As you spend time with Jesus, as you spend daily time with him, his Holy Spirit will help you. He's going to give you power to live like Jesus. He's going to help to illuminate through you to help people, to help you guide people to Jesus. And he's going to bring warmth to the cold hearts who need to know what real love is. Jesus says, I've come to bring fire on the earth. And that fire has come. It's the Holy Spirit. And it's that fire that brings division to those who reject Christ, but it also brings unity to those who embrace him. And as we invite the Holy Spirit to fill us. And I conclude with this. We can then fulfill the command found in Ephesians 4:2, which says this. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Oh. If we just took that one, one verse, I think that would take a lifetime to perfect. But the Holy Spirit is here to help us be more like Christ. We're never going to be successful in this 100%, but oh, that we would allow the Holy Spirit to help us move in that direction, right? Amen? This is going to help us to move towards greater unity in our families. It's going to help us to move towards greater unity in our church, our community, and hopefully see His kingdom expanded through the power, the illumination, and the warmth that the Holy Spirit provides. This unity, it trumps love over hate. This unity, it trumps forgiveness over unforgiveness. It trumps mercy over judgment. It trumps spirit over flesh. It trumps holiness over unrighteousness. It trumps His eternal kingdom over our temporary one. It trumps unity over division. And that's what my prayer is. And I know that's what the Lord would have for all of our lives today. Would you stand with me as we pray? Lord, we know that You've come to bring division, but also to bring peace and unity. It seems contradictory, but it's not. So Lord, help us to not walk in the flesh, but to walk in the Spirit. Lord, that division starts in our lives. We battle flesh and spirit all the time. Help us, Lord Jesus, to yield our flesh to Your Spirit so that we can let that power that's in us be directed in a healthy, constructive, unifying way so that we can allow the brightness of the fire that's in us to illuminate the paths of those that are walking in darkness, not only in our lives that You would illuminate our darkness, but illuminate those around us as well. And then, Lord, let that fire be one that creates a warmth of Your love that people are drawn to and warmed by and transformed by. Lord, You want to bring fire. You have brought fire. And it's not a fire of destruction. It's a fire of power from the Holy Spirit that helps us to be more like Christ every day. And those challenges that come our way through relationships, through interactions with people, Lord, may they be productive in our lives. May they cause us through those challenges and those issues in our lives to help us to, on the back end of them, be more like You and less like ourselves. Lord, that we would walk in forgiveness and that we would walk in mercy and that we would walk in unity and that we would walk in holiness and we would walk in love. And all of those things that are fruit of Your Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we invite You into our lives, not just so that we can say we're Spirit-filled and we're Pentecostal believers, but we're truly allowing the Holy Spirit to come and just infiltrate every cell of every fiber of our being to make us more like Christ in our thoughts and actions and words and interactions with people. Oh God, forgive us for not allowing You, Holy Spirit, Spirit of Christ, to take the reins of every part of our lives so that we can walk in greater unity and less division. Thank You for the fire of the Holy Spirit. And I pray right now, Lord Jesus, for each one in this place as we lift up our hands to receive a fresh infilling of Your Spirit. May that Spirit right now, a fresh touch, a fresh filling of Your Spirit right now. If that's you this morning and you need a fresh touch, just lift up your hands and yielding to Him. Say, Lord, I receive a fresh touch, a fresh infilling, a fresh fire of Your Spirit that will empower me in a Christ-like way, that will illuminate out from me that people will be drawn to You, that will be a warmth that will just radiate from me, that people will be drawn to the warmth of the love of Christ in me. Lord, that's the kind of change that we need in this world today. And it all comes from You. And Lord, as we plant and water, as we continue to walk this out, not really even liking sometimes what happens to us. Oh, our flesh wants to lash out. Our flesh wants to do some stuff. But Lord, may we die to our flesh today and every day crucify ourselves with Christ. Therefore, we no longer live, but Christ lives in us, and Christ, You in us. You're not some weak mamby-pamby Savior. I mean, You're strong, but You're also loving. You're bold, but You're also merciful. There's a lot of things in You that we... Everything about You is what we need. And there's nothing in us about us that we need. So we die to ourselves today. We're sorry. We're sorry, as we sung earlier. It's just coming in with all of our agendas and, you know, daddy God, sugar daddy God, Pez dispenser God, vending machine God. Forgive us. Father, we stand before you as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, and say, all right, we die to our sins today. We die to our flesh. We die to ourselves. We die to the things that we've allowed to steer our lives up to this point. And the Holy Spirit, won't you please take the reins right now of the areas of our life that we're struggling with, and in particular in the area of relationships where we tend to just not allow the Spirit of God to do what He needs to do through us. Lord, I pray for fire. A fire that will give us power to positively represent Christ. A fire that will illuminate Christ out from our lives to those walking in darkness. And a fire that warms people around us with the love of Christ that's in us. That's my prayer for this congregation, for myself, for my family, for all those that are watching here today. And we thank you, Jesus, for this. In your name, amen. Amen.